Earlier, David asked or posed the question that he didn't know why he has been asked to be the chairman of this first meeting. Now you know why. I had to think very hard. The title of the talk this morning is Spiritual Dimensions of Health Sciences. And in order to understand these dimensions, we need to first focus upon few concepts. These concepts are quite unique. And I would begin with the most important of them as far as this address is concerned. And gradually, in the course of my talk, would refer to others. One of the insights given to Baha'is, regardless of their profession, through the writings of the Baha'i Faith, is that the growth of humanity and development of humanity collectively parallels the growth of the individual. Therefore, humanity collectively goes through the stages of infancy, childhood, adolescence, and maturity. Now, applying this framework to the development of science and art of medicine and its relationship to religion and the spiritual dimensions of life of man reveals several very interesting insights. Therefore, allow me to look, however briefly, at the relationship between religion and medicine throughout the recorded history. We can identify at least five eras in that relationship. The first era was the era of the union and superstition. The union refers to the union of the religion and medical practice. The first medical practitioner was also the religious leader. He was the healer of both the soul and the body. However, by virtue of his own development and growth, and definitely by virtue of the state of being of mankind at that stage of growth, his thoughts, his understanding, his concepts of both the causes and the reasons of illness and the ways of health on the one hand, and the purpose of life of man and his place in this universe on the other hand, were primitive and imbued with much superstition. After all, superstition is nothing but the thinking of the human child, of the human infant, of that era of our growth that reason hasn't developed yet to its fullest degree. And therefore, the fears, the agonies, the ignorances, the imagination, the fantasies, all mixed with facts that are known to the person, and create in a state of being, a state of belief, that at best, from the light of reason, could be described as superstition. But for the person, or for the nation, or the group, who are at that level, those superstitions are indeed realities, the best way that they can understand. And therefore, it is so important that we do not become ignorant and arrogant in our attempt to understand the ways that other people understand the causes of illness and health and all other issues. This is of paramount importance if Baha'is, and definitely they are going to be involved on an international, global level with all people of all backgrounds, of all races, of all levels of development and growth. Therefore, the first era was the era of the union and superstition. However, gradually, a separation began to take place. And the era of the separation and distinction between religion and medicine dawned upon the history of mankind. During that long period, man became both more sophisticated in respect to his understanding of the causes of health and illness, and also became more aware of the spiritual dimensions of his being and his place in the universe and the purpose for his existence and his understanding of the Creator. And then a third era came upon us, and that was the era of scientific inquiry and religious dominance. It is an era that in different parts of the world and the different cultural settings, religion became the dominant force. And as such, it was the institutionalized religion, the dogmatic religion, the religion that was rigid, the religion that could not change, the religion that was casted and molded in the fashion that was not possible to change it. But at the same time, while this religious practice was dominating the culture, the human reasoning was at work as well. The human inquiry, the profound desire of man to know and to discover was at work as well. And consequently, there was an undercurrent of scientific inquiry. And this brought us to the next era, which was the era of dominance of science and rejection of religion. It is the era that we are living in by and large. It is an era that especially sometimes earlier, few decades earlier, but even now, believe that indeed all the problems of humanity are going to be solved through scientific inquiry and through the reasoning of man. That he does not need the intervention on the part of God. That indeed we were able in this era to proclaim God dead. And the proof of it was that it was the headline on the cover page of the Time magazine. You cannot have a better proof of that in our times. However, from vantage view of Baha'i, there is a new era already in progress, which would replace the era of the dominance of science and rejection of religion. And this is the era of the unity of religion and science. It is an era of the Baha'i faith. The Baha'i era would see into it, and we are responsible for that, that indeed a true unity of religion and science would take place. Now, in the light of this history, allow me now to look at the present situation as far as the health sciences are concerned. And I want to specifically focus on three dimensions. I want to focus on the crisis of the health sciences. I want to focus on what the world at large is doing to deal with these crises. And finally, I want to focus on what the challenge is before the Baha'is in response to these crises on the one hand, and the remedies that the world is trying to provide for those crises on the other hand. There are several major crises facing humanity as far as health sciences are concerned. The first of these is the crisis of orientation. And I like here to mention at least three of them. The first and the most important by far is the perception of man by medical sciences as an object, a machine, or at best, an animal. All the inquiries in medical and health sciences deal with human beings in one way or another along those three lines that I outlined. Consequently, we find ourselves with a very sophisticated machinery of health, very sophisticated tools, very sophisticated techniques, and very inhuman methods of healing. The second crisis of orientation in medicine is the crisis of being disease-oriented. There is a tendency to wait until people become sick and then provide the remedy. Consequently, by that attitude, we promote disease. We encourage people to become ill. And this is especially important at a time when mankind has no refuge, when humanity is alienated, when people are isolated, when people are lonely, when they cannot communicate and relate. At these times in history, people need someone to relate to go and to talk to open their heart, to make a human connection. So the result is that some 60-70% of all the patients that the general practitioner sees in his office, and by that matter many specialists see in their offices, are there simply to make a human contact and nothing else. But because you cannot make a human contact with a physician without being ill, therefore you develop symptoms and pains and aches, and then it's legitimate to go to the doctor. This disease orientation also has caused in development of a health delivery system which spends most of its finances and energies and resources in establishing hospitals and places where acute health disease is taken care of, and no mention of prevention is made. The third crisis that is facing medicine and the health sciences at this stage is the crisis of fear of change. Rigidity, traditionalism, and exclusiveness are some of the main characteristics of the health profession. These characteristics have evolved over the years based on a historical background which have made it legitimate in the past due to what I mentioned already very briefly about the history of the relationship between medicine and religion. However, at this stage in history of mankind, where the change is fast, when the new vistas of knowledge are being opened to mankind every day, when we are discovering that we are more than our body, and by that matter more than our feelings, and by that matter more than our emotions and minds, at this era in history of mankind, that rigidity, that traditionalism, and that exclusiveness is not useful any longer. And therefore there is a crisis that has to be met by the health profession. And this is the crisis of change. Now, these are the three crises in the realm of orientation that I chose to mention here. The second set of crises are the crises in respect to medical practice. In keeping with the first crisis and with the orientation of man as an animal and an object, the most important crisis in medical practice is that the physicians have become technicians of body. And if they are in psychiatry, they are technicians of mind. Therefore, physicians have lost some of those basic fundamental qualities and characteristics that over the centuries, over the